Time Radio, all sports, all the time.
Sports Time Radio. I, of course, am the Big Jack. He's Dan the Man. And if you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so if you just didn't get over there yesterday to see the new one, don't worry. It's still hanging out for you there. Just swing on over there and take a look. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But we also have the Twitter feed, which this is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Sports Time. Dan the Man is at
Dan the Man with Sam.
All right, well, humorously, Dan, you brought up baseball rule changes we were talking about yesterday, and wouldn't you know it, today they actually put in 6 rule changes effective immediately, and then 4 that will start next year. Some of these I'm just kind of like, yeah, okay, whatever. But here's the one I really like. There will be no parades after July 31st. So we finally got that BS waiver garbage eliminated. So it does say here that a player can still be placed on and claimed from outright waivers. So you can just completely more or less cut a guy if you want. But you don't have to deal with the BS of them going through waivers and clubs claiming them and being pulled back and forth. So you got to be happy about that one, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the month of July, I think it'll mean a little bit more.
So, yeah, and I won't be surprised to see them adjust this and maybe push it back a week or two and end up with the trading deadline ending up at, like, August 15th or something like that. I think is probably where we'll end up with this, but I do like that this year, effectively, we don't have to deal with that BS because it seems, is this guy gonna go? This guy's still gonna get traded? It's like, wait, the deadline's over. Ah, so now we can actually say, hey, the deadline is over. All right, this. I don't really care about this. I guess I'm just kind of tired of all this. But all-star voting will still be conducted on league. Will now participate in an all-star election day. The top 3 vote getters at each position in each league, top 6 in the case of the outfielders, will receive bonus payments. Dan, I got to be honest with you. I don't even know what the hell that rule means.
They're just trying to keep up with the NBA and the NFL.
Yeah, that's what it kind of seemed like to me. But when they started talking about it at first, when they said election, I thought they were going to have one of the All-Stars picking team. But I guess it's still a fan vote. This one I found kind of – I understand why they did this one, but it's not going to make me watch the Home Run Derby. It said Home Run Derby will now come with $2.5 million of prize money, including $1 million for the prize winner. I'm assuming this they're doing this, Dan, because like the NBA dunk contest, the top guys don't want to be in it. So I'm assuming they're throwing the money in to try to get more of the bigger names to compete.
Yeah, it seems pretty selfish, though, to me. I mean, aren't they getting enough money to begin with? So this one, I don't really – I mean, it's cool, but I don't really care.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, tell you the truth, they could pay the guy $100 million to win it, and I still wouldn't watch it because it's terrible television. And, you know, I don't know if maybe it's more exciting to see live, but you couldn't pay me the $2.5 million in prize money to watch it. It's just bad. So, you know, there's so many. You know, I'd rather watch a G League game or something. You know, no, probably not, but I was looking for something there. All right. You mentioned this yesterday as one of the things you heard. The maximum number of mound visits has been reduced to 5. It was 6. Now we're down to 5. I don't know. Do you think that's even a big deal anymore?
No. I'm sure this came with a study that, you know, they were doing less and less. You know, they just watched all the Cubs games when Wilson Contreras caught. So that's where they used their marker.
Yeah. Yeah, they probably realized that teams were only going to the mound about 5 times a game anyway, so they cut it down to make it seem like they were doing something. And then the last one that will be in change, it's just something they're doing, but the MLB and the MLBPA will form a joint committee to discuss further issues and rule changes. Yeah, okay.
Oh, and I forgot all inning breaks will be down to 2 minutes.
Oh, yeah, I skipped that one, didn't I? Yeah. So, yeah, commercial breaks between innings are reduced to 2 minutes in length for all games. I wonder if that means playoff games as well, Dan. 5 last year or something like that? So, are they knocked 5 seconds off the inning?
205 local and 220 national.
Yeah, so they didn't really make many changes. All right, here's the stuff that is going in next year. The standard roster size in regular season and postseason games will go up 1. It's currently 25. It will be 26 next year. But beginning on September 1st, they're only going to allow the rosters to expand to 28 players instead of the current 40 that you get is, you know, the way that goes. Now this is interesting, Dan, because I naturally thought that with the expansion, teams would carry 11 position players and 15 pitchers, but they say a maximum number of pitchers will be designated by than half. So it looks like teams are only going to be carrying 13 pitchers. So I don't know. I actually kind of like this, especially the September one, because the 40-man roster gets a little carried away. How are you digging this?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it doesn't really make a difference. You know, like you said, it can get a little carried away. You know, I kind of felt like with the 40-man, it was your one time of the year to give the heavy hitters a few breaks, especially if they're going into the playoffs.
Yeah, this next one is a little strange. It says position players are only eligible to pitch in extra innings or when a team is leading or trailing by 7 or more runs. Certain position players may be designated as two-way players, but to be eligible, they'll need to have accrued at least 20 innings pitched and started 20 games as a position player / designated hitter in the current or preceding season. Including at least 3 trips to the plate in each of those lineup appearances. This is kind of interesting to me, Dan, and it's odd. It almost seems like a fantasy baseball rule.
Well, and I mean, the fact that we know Ohtani can't pitch next year or this year, and the rule is going into effect next year. How did that work for him? Because he won't have accrued the 20 innings.
Yeah, well, I guess I'm assuming it doesn't say here, but I'm guessing there's something. There's got to be an injury rule that applies, you know, since he is legitimately injured. But yeah, they actually don't say it here, so I guess we'll have to look and see how he's designated. But yeah, I would think they would let him slide there. And then they are going with this, Dan. This is one of the rules I don't like. A pitcher must face at least 3 batters per appearance unless he is removed due to injury or the half inning in which he is pitching ends. before the three batters have come to the plate. You know, I would have bought two, Dan. I think three can be a little much for, you know, a guy, but I guess they're just going to try to speed up the game, right?
Well, not only that, it keeps Craig Counsell from putting in a guy for one pitch or one batter in the first
yeah.
inning.
Yes, that'll stop him from, you know, like he did with Wade Miley, where he faced one batter in the NLCS, and then he got hooked. So, and then this one you talked about before, I thought they were doing this year, but it's in the next year's one, it says the minimum length of stay for pitchers who are optioned to the minors or placed on the injured list will increase from 10 days to 15 days. It does say the change is subject to input from the newly formed joint committee, so maybe we won't be doing that anyways. No. So. Yeah, I don't know. Anything you like or anything you're happy you see them doing?
You know, I kind of like this three-batter rule. Be active with the roster provisions. I think that's one where they're even going to have to work out the kinks. I don't really know how to make it better, faster, or on the other flip side of it, worse. I don't know.
Yeah, and it does look like they're actually going to listen to us, Dan. It says the players, the MLBA and the players' representatives, as well as the players themselves, have become incredibly frustrated with the current state of free agency. More or less, as they put it here, they say laminating the stagnant market. So I think I honestly believe they need to adopt an NFL-type style rule where, you know, you have it set up where you can't sign anybody until, you know, whatever it works out, and then you kind of get that frenzy with all the guys signing and all the guys working, and you work through all of it, because this long, drawn-off off-season is, let's face it, it was garbage this year.
Yeah, well, and I think it's in part two that the players are letting the agents maybe stand too much ground.
You were as sick as I was of it, but, man, I got so tired of hearing about Bryce Harper and Manny Machado when there was absolutely nothing going on with their market.
Yeah, well, I think both sides were playing the wait-and-see game.
Yeah.
And that just dragged it on and made it horrible for the rest of us.
I definitely think they need to make a move there. You know, you need, you know, if you don't have a start date on when you can sign, you need an ending date on when guys must be signed by. Because you just can't continue to drag this garbage out and, you know, anything like that. I mean, honestly, and I know the players would never go for it, I would love to see them go, actually has the right to match a contract that you got, you know, so it could keep players in markets longer and let guys actually maybe finish their career with one team, which we just don't see a lot of anymore.
I don't see why they wouldn't want to agree to that, you know, and to protect the team that, you know, the additional money don't affect your luxury tax.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember, because they used to have that rule, and I forgot why they ended up getting rid of it. So.
Well, I mean, even, you know, if that was instituted now with the Nationals, you know, let's just throw them out there. You know, how much different would it have played out had the Nationals been given the opportunity to not match it to know exactly what the details of the contract were, and then to match it and not have it affect their luxury tax.
Yeah, you know, if I remember correctly, I think part of the issue was the way teams were structuring contracts. So the team that, like, the player used to be on couldn't match it. You know, it would be, like, gigantically front-loaded or something to that effect. And there was some weird, you know how these guys are. They're always going to find ways to get around the rules. So, you know, unless you had it locked down, you know, it would be one of those things I would really like to see. Just to keep guys in place, you know what I mean? Obviously, you know, like the Orioles wouldn't have matched Machado this year because they're going there. You know, they would have let him walk, but a pretty good chance that the Nationals would have matched that deal and kept him.
Mm-hmm.
So, I
think, like you mentioned, though, with Machado, the challenge would come when you've got a guy who spent, you know, his career with Baltimore and was traded, you know, to L.A. I don't think L.A. should have the opportunity to match like Baltimore would.
Yeah, you would definitely have to have that type of rule where, you know, guys traded at the trade deadline, you know, that team would have the opportunity or something, you know, something to that effect. They would have to work that out. You know, we'll just have to, I guess I just got to kind of hope and see how it goes, right?
Yeah. We got to start writing the MLBPA.
Yeah. You know, and see if they would allow it to happen. But, again, as time is ticking down, we actually have a fantasy draft tomorrow and Saturday. The tough part about having to do it a little early because of those stupid games in Japan is, you know, there's still a lot of spring training left to go, and you get injuries and other kind of stuff. And like I'm reading here that the Tigers have now shut down Michael Fulmer. You know, they're just kind of calling it, you know, tiredness more or less, but he underwent knee surgery in the fall. And they are saying that he's shown a reduction in capacity. So they're giving him some time off, and we'll see if it works out. But, you know, he started his career off fantastic. You know, he was Rookie of the Year and finished in the Cy Young voting in 2016, and it looked like he was going to have a really long, productive career. And, you know, obviously the Tigers were bad in 2017, so he did go 10-12. But he had a 3.83 ERA. The problem was he only made 25 starts, which was a little dinged up. Last year he only made 24 starts, and he was 3-12, but that ERA ballooned to 4.69. So I don't know if maybe he just kind of flared out, or if, you know, the injuries are just getting the best of him. But, you know, he's probably a guy I'll cross off my list and try to stay away from. How about you?
Yeah, unfortunately for me, I think the Tigers are one of those teams I'm not looking too hard into.
Yeah, you know, I always, you know, unless it's a closer, I'm never a big fan of, like, getting starting pitchers from losing teams. You know, I know occasionally you have to do that, and if you can get their number one or their number two, sometimes that guy can compete. But, yeah, when you get to the back end of their rotation, I mean, these are guys I just don't want, so I'm hoping, it doesn't fall into my lap like that, unless he's a gigantic workout guy. Because, like, obviously the Giants look like they're going to be a losing team again. But if I end up with Samardzija, I would be okay because he strikes out a lot of guys.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we'll see how that works out. But, yeah, I just just looks like things are going to get a little bit worse in Detroit before they get better. And I guess, you know, I had heard some people who thought they could be a surprise team. I got to tell you, I wasn't really buying it. You know, I would like to see Miggy bounce back and have a good year just because I'm a fan. But other than that, I don't think, you know, they do have Castellanos. You know, maybe Mark Candelaria breaks out. Do you see him having a big year?
I don't know. I think, you know, he still has room for growth, right?
Yeah, you know, obviously it's just his second year, so a lot of, you know, a lot of things that, you know, can go on there with him. But yeah, I just don't, you know, I just don't have a lot of positives that could, you know, that could be, you know, be about the Tigers. Sorry, Tigers, it's just not something there I'm kind of buying on. So, but I did find a list here, Dan. There's 11 guys that could have breakout season. So I hope you've got these guys rated and on your list for the next 2 days. They start right at the top here with Ahmed Rosario, who is the Mets' young shortstop. He's actually 23 now, and I think he's coming into his third year. So he's a guy you got to get on your list here, Dan. I think he's going to break out, so you'll have to mark him down. You also have to look for Taylor Rogers, who's a left-handed pitcher on the Twins. It's an interesting choice. Apparently he had like a 5.48 ERA in May last year. So we'll see. But he's a setup guy, Dan, so you can get your holds from him. They also like Framil Reyes of the Padres, another 23-year-old outfielder. I don't know. That's a crowded Padre outfield, so we'll see how that goes. Nick Pivetta, the Philly starter, is on the list. They have Jose Alvarado, the Tampa Bay starter. Diego Castillo, who is another right-handed Tampa Bay pitcher. Scott Oberg, we got to love those Rocky pitchers. We got him on here. Add Alberto Mondesi, the Royal shortstop, finally going to get to play every day. Kyle Tucker, Astros outfielder. Ramon Laureano, the A's center fielder. And then Chad Pinder, who's a utility guy for the A's. So there you go, Dan. 11 names you got to pencil in on your list for the next couple days. And see, were you buying any of those as a breakout guy? Did it jump out at you there?
I guess you pull my LeBron card. How do you define breakout?
So yeah, well, you know, I mean, obviously breakout is whatever you want to define it as, you know, what you think is going to make this guy break out. So
yeah, I mean, with, you know, shortstop and KC teamed up with the second baseman, I think they could be a quality defensive duo. But, you know, as far as this game goes, I don't know if he would really break out, because I wouldn't peg him for being a 25-plus homer guy. You know, if we went kind of old school and he was a get-on-base guy and had a high batting average with, you know, lower strikeouts and maybe a few higher walks, more singles and doubles, I think he could be a breakout guy.
You
broke up. Repeat that.
What? I'm sorry, you broke up a little there.
Yeah, so did you. That's right.
Yeah. I said he could be a 50 steal guy. Would that change your mind?
Yeah, that would change my mind.
Yeah, so. Yeah, you know, like I am interested in some of their outfield choices. I just don't know if a guy like Tucker or a guy like Reyes is going to get enough at bat to really break out, as they would say. You know, the Padres have some really good young outfielders, not to mention Will Myers is going to play back out there now that they acquired Machado. you know, your Reyes is looking to get it back. You know, obviously they're not taking it back away from Meyer. You've got Manuel Margot, Franchi Cordero, and then what is it, Travis Janikowski, who I believe is injured. So he may miss a little bit to start. So maybe there's a few at bats early. I just don't know if there's going to be enough there. And then, you know, in Houston, you know, they, you know, for whatever reason, you know, I know you're not the biggest fan, but they seem to like Josh Reddick. You know, and they added Michael Brantley. So I just don't know, you know, unless, you know, and it looked like, I thought I saw that Tyler White is going to be the DH, you know, taking the place of Evan Gattis. So I don't know where these at-bats are going to come from. So, yeah, you know, and obviously, you know, if you're going to break out, you're going to need a bat.
You know, that's one thing with Houston. I feel like they've underutilized the DH position.
Yeah, well, you know, I think they were hoping for a little bit more out of Gattis than what they ended up getting. It'll be interesting to see how Tyler White produces. And you know what was funny is I was talking about the Astro outfield, Dan, and for the life of me, I couldn't remember who played center field, and for some reason I couldn't remember George Springs. I think because he played right last year, and that set me up. But, yeah, I mean, you know, looking at the Tucker's going to make the 25-man roster. So I don't know how you're going to – maybe he's going to have a breakout year in AAA. Is that what they meant?
I think so.
Yeah, you know, obviously he's a high prospect, but he's just 22, and I just don't think there's going to be a barring injury. I don't really see a spot for him right away. You know, even at looking at San Diego, they have Reyes on the bench to start the season. So, they have Hunter Renfro, Cordero, and then Will Myers in the outfield. So, Margot is on the bench as well. Janikowski is expected to miss 3 months of injury. So, yeah, that's a crowded outfield for the guy to bring out in. Probably not going to get a ton of a staff. So I don't know what they have going on there. I'm guessing they saw something in the tender that nobody else knows, because he was a village guy, and you know, yeah, I had to ask him, you're going to bet so, again, I mean, it's a nice thought, and it's just, you know, it's a little out there to say, oh, okay, well, you know, we'll throw this guy on the list, and I'm sure that's probably why they did it, but. You know, I don't know if I would categorize him as that. I mean, you know, maybe a fun guy to add on your bench because he's going to be able to play everywhere if you're in a deep fantasy league. But I can't see him, you know, being a breakout guy or even an everyday guy, right? I mean, so. We'll see. I mean, unless the A's suffer some outfield injuries like they did last year, I you know, what's he going to get? He's going to get 300 at-bats?
If he's lucky.
So I actually want to look and see what he got last year, because they're basing a lot of this off the you know, off his, off of the way he played last year and how he did. So I want to grab his stats real quick here and see how many games he ended up in. He did play in 110 games last year, Dan, but he only got 298 at-bats. Interestingly, it was 13 homers, 27 RBIs, and he only hit 258.
For a guy coming off the bench.
Obviously, I'm going to like this guy because he played every position except catcher. So, you know, this guy's right up my alley as a bench guy that I would have on my fantasy team. But, yeah, it's weird because, like, they're actually – Baseball Reference is actually projecting him to hit – well, they're only projecting him to hit 249. But they are giving him a few more at-bats, 357. I don't know if 249 with 15 homers and 42 RBIs is a breakout year, is it?
No. Breakout, you know, I mean, to me, means you go ahead of what you did the year prior or years prior.
You know, I mean, it's a nice year for a bench player who can play every position. You know, I mean, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. You need these, you know, super utility guys, as they're called in these games. But, yeah, to, you know, if he reaches those numbers like they're predicting, I don't call that a breakout. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, kind of continuing on that route, you know, thankfully we don't make that pick. For our predictions, because I'd have to call and I don't know, I'd have to pull a card on your, tell you, yeah, we're not doing that one. I'm not doing no breakout picks. I'll pick them all, but I'm leaving that line blank. I've been doing my picks over the last few days. You know, just kind of going off of what I know and not doing a whole lot of research. I found it kind of humorous. I didn't get my email. I was supposed to get an email with my picks. But from what I remembered, one of the MLB, I think it was the MLB site itself, some of the guys that made their picks on there, I was pretty close and in tune with the way they had things going down. So I thought that was kind of interesting that, you know, I'm not on it 24/7 like baseball, and I was still able to kind of get into the same realm with them. And I also did find it interesting, and I'm sure you'll find this interesting too, Big Jack, that just because the Phillies landed Bryce Harper, a lot of the experts even don't peg them. They don't own the East. They still kind of give that award to the Nationals. So, and I still think they're going to be that great of a team, a quality of a team. And there were some that I haven't seen that put the Braves ahead of the Phillies, which I was kind of. That one was a hard one, so I don't remember my exact. But the one I wanted to go with, since you were talking about breakout players of the year, the one I find the most difficult next to manager of the year, and, of course, rookie of the year. I had to have made that, so I have no idea who the hell I picked for rookie of the year. Is the comeback player of the year. And, you know, I'd love to throw Miggy in there because you mentioned him earlier, but I'm not going to say his better days are behind him, because they kind of are. His great paydays are still coming to him, so great for him. And luckily he's not an NFLer, because we both know he'd be out of a job. And not making rap CDs, but I'll tell you about that in a little bit. But, you know, here was just three that really stood out to me. And I don't know if you've pulled up anything on the comeback player of the year, if you've really looked into that. But the three that I really liked, and I'm sure you'll know exactly who I went with. So Chris Bryant, Buster Posey, and Carlos Santana. Obviously, process of elimination, you know I didn't go with Buster. Go with Bryant because I wanted it to happen. You know, there's a lot more guys you can kind of go with, but those are the three that really stood out to me. And kind of what were your thoughts on it? You don't have to say if you're picking or which route you're going, But what were your kind of thoughts with those three?
Yeah, you know, humorously, I didn't even consider those three guys. I'm still kind of searching for a National League guy. I pretty much have my picks done, so I'll be putting them in this weekend. But, yeah, I think out of all of it, this is the most difficult one to just to kind of predict. But, yeah, you know, I mean, you have three guys where if they all stay healthy, they should have fantastic years. You know, I mean, it's definitely – you know, three guys with a lot of talent. And, you know, Brian had that injury pretty much all last year. You know, who was the third guy? Posey and who?
Carlos Santana.
Okay, Carlos Santana, yeah. I wonder if Santana qualifies because he's in the American League now. I'm sure he does. But, you know, that's kind of humorous there. But, yeah, I think obviously Brian and Posey have been, you know, MVPs in their careers. I don't know quite if Santana would actually reach their level. But yeah, I mean, it's three really good choices, probably better than what I'll come up with. Cause like I said, I wasn't considering any of those guys. I already have my American League guy. So, you know, I know who I'm going to go with there. And, like, I have all my picks set. It's just a matter of putting them in, you know, and just kind of see how that goes. But, yeah, it's a difficult category just because there's, you know, so many to, you know, there's, you know, a decent amount of guys to choose from. And you got to kind of figure out, like, okay, well, you know, which one is which. So, but yeah, I don't think you could have went wrong with any of those choices. So he was definitely right on. Hopefully mine are that good. So we'll have to see how that goes or how it works out. But yeah, I just gotta get my stuff together and we'll get them up. And then, yeah, probably the Saturday after those first couple games, we'll, you know, I'll put it in the blog there and, you know, you'll see who we're going with and how things go. So, you know, that's always fun for us. And we do have a couple of my buddies are going to pitch in and make some picks this year. A couple of guys I've known for a really long time. They're big baseball fans. They're going to throw in with us this year and we'll see how they do compared to how we do. And you know, kind of how it goes. So, no.
Did they send you their picks yet?
I do have one of them. The other guy is just waiting to. He said he's got it all. He just hasn't emailed it to me. You do have to show me how to put them in now with this the way we're doing it, because the way it seemed like it looked like I could only put my picks in. So you might have to explain to me how to get theirs.
Oh, you just have to add their name.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, because, like, the way it came up, you know, like, it was asking me questions and stuff, and I was like, wait, why does it need to know this stuff? We've been doing this for years. So.
Oh, no, that you were looking at the actual form, which that's why I asked. If you can just go to the Google Sheet, and that'll be fine. But, no, that was part of the reason I made the form, because I thought it would be easier for Schomburgs, too, and Mr. Fantasy. And then you remember at the time when I made, we used to send this out to everyone who contributed to the show, to the podcast. So.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean? To be honest with you, I think the most difficult part is just to be getting Mr. Fantasy's picks like it always seems to be. So.
Yeah, which will probably not happen this year again. Which, again, I'm sure you've looked at it, and it's not the new way. We've been doing it this year for a few years, but you have access to the Google Sheets, so you've never actually used it. It literally goes step by step. You know, AL,
yeah.
NL, you know, each division broken down. You don't even have to type it in. You just click the little triangle, the drop-down menu happens. There's your team. You just pick it. It's just the difficult part, I think, no matter what, is just making your individual player predictions. Not because of the form.
You'll actually have to send me the link to the Google Sheet because I honestly didn't delete it, but I just, for whatever reason, no longer have it. I don't know if it just – if they deleted it because I hadn't used it in so long or what. But, yeah, I looked and it's gone. So you'll have to send that to me again.
I will, but you're still on it. So it's not deleted. It should be there.
Yeah, well, I was looking for the link in my email because that's where I keep it, and it's just – it's gone. And it's like, I know I didn't delete this. I deleted everything else.
Yeah.
But I didn't
delete
that one.
Just, go to Google Sheets and open. You don't even have to go to an email. I'll send that to you later.
Yeah, because I was just kind of lost. So yeah, I like the this thing you send everybody. It's like anybody could do this.
Yeah, and that's why I thought your friends would if they had an email, they could just auto populate it that way. Because then what it does is it creates a Google Sheet for me to just, copy and paste.
Sadly, they're old, though. They're my age, so you know how that goes. But
and I'm using email?
Probably not. I wouldn't surprise. I'm really surprised that both these guys are on Facebook. So, But back to – I thought this was kind of funny, Dan – and I don't know why Colin McHugh decided to pick this, but apparently he decided to call out the White Sox for manipulating Eloy Jimenez service time. So I want to know where he was with Vlad Jr. and Nick Senzel and Fernando Tatis, who have all been allocated to minor league camp to manipulate their service time. I'm interested to know why he just selected Jimenez as the guy, and the White Sox as the guy he was going to call out. So I thought that was kind of, he's a pitcher for the Astros.
Oh, okay. I thought so. I mean, hasn't he been in the league since, 2015, 2014?
Yeah, he's been around a few years now. So, yeah, I kind of wonder why this was the bandwagon he jumped on.
Well, I mean, did he, miss the newsletter from the Players Association when Chris Bryant and the other guy filed their grievance? Or I'm sure there's a newsletter.
I guess...
I don't know if they have union meetings or, it's not the 80s, the 70s, 80s anymore. I'm sure you get an emailed newsletter. Shoot, I'm sure they all got text. You could sign up for your text alert. So it's kind of odd, that a guy, not only a guy, but a player is going to come out and call a team out for that when it would be different if this was new. But I mean,
yeah.
We've been talking about this since the Chris Bryant issue, but we've talked about that prior to that. So it's just, and it's something we've been talking about continuously over the past few years. And he wants to call out, Kenny and Rick and the White Sox for that. I mean, why aren't you calling out Tony? I can't remember his name now. The head of the MLBPA, who's your union steward? Who are the guys that negotiate this? Because, This is the what do we call this again? The agreement, the CBA, doesn't happen overnight. I couldn't think of what it was called. You know, this takes months, and not only does it take months to kind of put together, it took them almost full 6 to 8 months to even release after the lawyers got a hold of it to finalize everything. You know, the 300 plus pages. I mean, it's brutal to try to actually read. I've read most of it. I think I'll finish it when the next one comes out.
Yeah. Yeah, and it does say he did tweet last month about Vlad Jr. So he was on that bandwagon as well. But yeah, it's just, you know, it's like you're a little late to the party here. You know, I don't get the, again, why this player and why this battle now all of a sudden. I mean, we all know it's BS. You know, and it was funny because another pitcher, I guess I think former pitcher now, Eric O'Flaherty, brought up the fact that the Braves didn't manipulate Jason Hayward's service time. You know, they had an opportunity to do that, and they didn't. So, but I, you know, that's how they were, and, you know, it's like that's what they decided. These teams are going a different route.
Yeah, I mean, that really has nothing to do with it. I mean, that's like bringing up the fact that Babe Ruth was not traded, but sold to the Yankees. So I'm mad. I'm so mad about that. You know what I mean? Like, maybe you should tweet that out later. Can't believe the Red Sox sold Babe Ruth to the Yankees.
So, yeah, just kind of, you know, kind of odd that I saw that, and it was like, okay, well, you know, welcome to the collective bargaining agreement that your union agreed to.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, yeah, it's just kind of like, okay, here you go.
No, and not only that, I don't know. I mean, the part of the whole process is kind of crap. I mean, Bryce Harper and his dad manipulated the system technically by him dropping out of high school and attending junior college but getting his GED, which, who knows, he probably could have even done one of those high school programs where, you know, you still get a high school diploma and attended junior college, knowing full well he was going into the open market, which, why did Bryce Harper do that? Because for whatever reason, on the U.S. market, you have to have, like, gone to college. You have to be a certain age. But if you grow up south of the border, and I'm not just referring to Mexico, pretty much all Latin American countries, you're free range at the age of 13.
Yeah.
You know, I believe it was Carlos Zambrano was a guy, you know, former Cub from Venezuela, who was pretty much, I'm not going to say he was signed, but he was destined to be a Cub at the age of 13 years old. So, I mean, nobody wants to talk about that either. You know, and a lot of these guys, which I think that market has calmed down. So, you know, I believe Yasiel Puig, and there's a couple others who kind of got the big money, but you know, even that's kind of calmed down to where these guys aren't coming out getting millions and millions of dollars, except for the guy who hasn't made it to the major leagues yet that's in the Red Sox organization. He's getting paid a boatload to hang out in Double A and Triple A.
Yeah. I think he might still be getting paid. I'm trying to remember if he's still there or not.
He's got time. He's got some time left.
Oh.
It was
him and Yasmani. Him and Yasmani Tomas are counting their money in the minors.
Oh, yeah. I mean, shoot, how could you complain? Yeah, I might complain about the bus rides, but, you know, forget it. The money you're making, you just take an Uber. Get a train. I don't, you know, of course I'm exaggerating, but you know what I mean? It's like the way the system's set up for an American, you may as well defect from our country and set up residency somewhere else. if you're that great, you know.
Yeah, and, you know, to be fair, Bryce, you know, Bryce Harper didn't do anything wrong. They followed the rules.
No.
So, you know, they just, you know, that's what they had to do, and that got him into, you know, got that made him a professional faster than any other way he could have gotten there. So, you know, that was, you know, I mean, it was really, you know, it was, it's lucky his father knew the rules and was able to, you know, do that, because obviously it was the best thing for him. So, oh, but all right. Well, I think it's about that time here, as you know, as we try to wrap up every Thursday show. Probably, I'm thinking probably one more week of this. Dan gives us a sports movie to watch in the off season here before the baseball regular season gets going. We've had some winners, some losers, and some that I'm not quite sure were sports movies. So we never know quite what we're going to get. But what did you go with for this week?
Well, I'm going to tell you at the end, because it's a well-known movie, so I'm not going to have to give a huge review on it. But I've been in the baseball mood. But I do have to tell you a little story, and this is sports-related. So this morning on my way to work, on the commuter train, which is oh so lovely, I was, you know, let me rewind. So I broke my glasses a week or two ago, and I usually read in the morning, and unfortunately wearing contacts, I'm unable to read. It's not that I can't see, it's just the strain on my eyes with contacts. I'm nearsighted, so I have farsighted contacts. You know, it's just very complicated, so I can't read in the morning anymore. That goes, you know, my phone, I can't read anything. So I've been, you know, listening to the music. I'm an Amazon Music subscriber, and I was just going through all the new releases, going through everything, you know, hip-hop, rap, pop, I guess rap, same thing, metal. I was going through everything and, you know, trying to listen to what's supposed to be new and hot. And Big Jack, I'm turning into an old man because I'm like, oh, I love it. Grew up with hip-hop, rap. Turn it on, I'm like, man, this music sucks. You guys suck. This metal is weak. You know, I'm going through all this stuff, and, you know, normally I would just revert back to the old days and throw on some classic 80s music or, you know, classic rock, go somewhere crazy like that. Well, not that it's crazy, but I was kept just scrolling because there's a lot of new music, and I happened upon a guy who didn't play in the NFL all last year because he was throwing a hissy fit or pouting or whatever you want to call it. But instead, he put together a CD. Well, he put together quote-unquote, an album, which I guess he's done over the last couple of years. And I don't know if you've seen this before or heard about it, Big Jack, but he can thank Allen Iverson for breaking the ground on this one, or maybe Shaq. But Le'Veon Bell has this a new CD that's out. I was hoping to get some kind of reaction out of you.
I'm just sorry.
Yeah, so... You know, I had to. You know, I had to just tune in and listen. You know, I, at the bottom of the playlist, every you know rapper, metal musician, pop artist, they have a record label. Le'Veon Bell didn't, and knowing how the hip hop industry works, he paid some good money for some good beats. But you know, what would the music he put together, like I said, he could thank Allen Iverson because you remember Allen Iverson was just ostracized for the song he put out. Le'Veon put out a whole CD with, you know, the gangster rap kind of territory, you know, music, and it just kind of was ridiculous to me, you know, and I enjoy that kind of music, but listening to this guy talking about, you know, he's robbing them with no mask on, you know, basically telling you that he's trying to make as much money as he can or take as much money from the league. You know, when he says it, when he puts it in that word, robbing them with no mask on, to me that says he's not as good as he is. The money, he's not as good as the money they're going to pay him or whoever pays him. So it was just, I had to go through and listen to the songs, and I mean, it was pretty much, you know, he'll never be a Billboard top anything like Shaq was. Shaq put together some entertaining music, some fun music. You know, he did fun stuff. And this just, you know, I think he should have just sucked it up and took the franchise and not let James Conner shine like he did. So I don't know if you're an Apple Music subscriber or Amazon or Spotify or whatever the hell you're on. I wouldn't even recommend you even going and listening to this because it was, I wouldn't say it was total garbage, but it's just a guy who has a lot of money who can afford studio time. So it's just, I had to share my experience, Big Jack. And, you know, when I saw it, I'm like, no, is this the Le'Veon Bell? And I had to, you know, Google, not Google, because I don't do Google, I do Bing. I had to search on Bing if Le'Veon Bell really made an album, and it was just pretty ridiculous that he's done this. Any, you know, quick one-liners do you have for me?
I forgot Prime Time. You forgot Prime. He had an album too.
Yeah, I'll have to go back and try to find those. But this weekend, or this past weekend, I was at a friend's house, and there was a, you know, there was just some kid movies on. Maybe not so much a kid movie because it's, you know, loved by adults, but I'm getting in the baseball mood. I've been trying to watch spring training, and let's be honest, Big Jack, it's hard to really stick with it. You know, you get a couple innings in, and then you're like, let me turn it off and just watch something else. So like I said, I've been getting in the baseball mood, and the one movie that I think everyone watches around this time of year, or if not in the summer, is The Sandlot. How could you not watch The Sandlot? I mean, it's got, you know, it has everything for baseball. The kids even play under the lights. Wendy Peppercorn. You know, you got to watch it to know what I'm talking about. You know, it's just, it's one of those great movies that's kind of timeless. And I don't know if it's a Disney movie or not, but, you know, maybe when my daughter gets a little older and I've sucked her into baseball so much that she actually enjoys it, maybe she'll enjoy the movie. I don't know. She was just kind of running around with the kid while me and my friend were like, oh, I haven't seen this movie in a while. Yeah, me either. So, you know. We just kind of sat there and watched it. You know, but it did get me thinking about how Hollywood just ruins life, because in a perfect world, you know, I would have been the baseball player and my friend would have been in the booth broadcasting, or vice versa, and that just didn't happen. So thanks, Hollywood, for crushing my dreams.
Well, there you go. So, yeah, and they are actually in the process of developing a TV series called The Sandlot that apparently is based on the movie. And they have mentioned that some of the people from the movie will actually be appearing. So you'll get to look forward to that. So.
Well, the chubby kid with the freckles is probably the most recognizable, so he's the only one who really needs to be in it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know the one guy, and I can't remember which one it was, they just had the reunion. I think the movie's 20 or 25 years old now. And they couldn't find one of the guys. He just kind of disappeared. So, you know, just one of those things. All right, well, there we go.
Sports Time Radio.